Good morning. That was pretty good. The last service, I had to ask him to say good morning twice, but I could hear you all. Thanks for that. It's good to see you this day on this beautiful Sunday morning. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Reverend Brandon Baxter, and I'm one of the associate pastors here. If you are worshiping with us today, we would really love to know that you are with us and have a record of that. So if you're worshiping with us online, we invite you to leave your attendance record with us by using the instructions that are either on the screen or in the chat as you are worshiping this morning. And those of you that are in the sanctuary, if you want to find one of the attendance pads that's on the end of the pews and fill out your attendance there and then pass it on down, that both allows us to know that you're here and also might allow you to see who's sitting on the pew with you. We have quite a few announcements today, and so I'm going to try to move through them fairly quickly. First of all, I want to point out that in the bulletin there is a QR code for filling out a survey about worship. And if you would have not yet filled out a survey, we're trying to get information on the ways that people are worshiping with us right now and what people prefer and don't prefer and like about worship. And so if you will fill that out for us, that would be great. Also, it's Donut Sunday, and we had Donut Sunday between the two services out here in Reed Hall, but there are still a lot of donuts left. So if you want some donuts after the service, please head out to Reed Hall, grab some donuts, maybe talk to a few folks, and they're probably enough that you could grab a whole box of donuts if you want to take a dozen to somebody, to a friend that needs to be blessed today. At noon today, following this service, there will be in room 310 a meeting for anyone that would like to learn more about our church's ministry supporting H.G. Hill Middle School in the coming year. Our church has a relationship with H.G. Hill where we support teachers and students and their families. And so if you're interested in finding out more about that, just go to 310 at noon after this service. Next Sunday will be Promotion Sunday, when our younger people move up to the next grade of their Sunday morning classes, and we celebrate also the beginning of the school year, and we have prayers for students and teachers and administrators, and we'll even have special backpack tags for students to put on their backpacks to remind them that our church loves them and that they are blessed by God. And so we hope everybody will come for that celebration. And then on August 28th, we're going to have Jubilee Sunday. And this is going to be a time where we hope that anybody and everybody that's available to come to the service in person will do so. We want to do that because we are so blessed when we are able to be in one another's presence. And the last 2 years have not afforded us as many times to bless one another in that way. So we hope that we'll see a lot of you here on August 28th. We're going to have brass accompaniment with the choir, and then we're also going to have an engagement party. Not what you think. We're going to have an engagement party downstairs in the gym. It'll be sort of like a ministry fair where you can find out ways to get involved in the church through different small group ministries and service opportunities and all sorts of different things. So we hope to see you down there. Finally, I want to mention that you have an opportunity to register to go hear the Reverend Dr. James Lawson preach and speak at Gordon Memorial Church on August 11th, which is soon. So check your e-news if you're interested in registering for that event. And I said finally, but this is really the last finally. Today, our organ is getting much needed upgrades, but that process is still ongoing. And so today we're going to be blessed by our piano, and we're going to have all of our music on the piano. It will allow us to hear our voices singing so beautifully. It will allow us to hear the choir singing beautifully. And so we invite you to step into this unique experience this week as our organ is being tended to experience worship in a different and more intimate way. And so I hope to hear you singing out really loudly. That's a challenge. Methodists are supposed to be able to sing really well. So let's see what Methodists can sound like. And now, with all of that said, let us go to God in worship, the God who calls us forth to live lives patterned after God's intent.
Hear, O my Lord, I see call us to come and hear.
Our ears and minds are open.
God, you call us to set aside our evil deeds.
We repent and ask for mercy.
God, you call us to be people of justice.
May our songs, our prayers, and our actions reflect your will.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that we are carried, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves of God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever way you feel comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. It's about the vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teachings of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove your evil deed from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now. Let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, will they become like snow? Though they are red like crimson, will they become like wool? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Anita. You did that really, really well. Anita said in Sunday school, she said, I heard in the last service Rob Bigelow read the scripture, and she said that somebody in Sunday school said, I mean, he sounded like the voice of God. And she said, well, only if God is only a man. And so we know our God is a God of spirit and truth, and so thank you for bringing the divine feminine voice to that scripture this time. All right, I want to invite our young people forward for our children's time, and if you come forward, you're going to have to come around one of the rails. You can either go that way. Some are going that way. You can also come this direction if you want. Yeah, you can come this way. Good. And then we're going to meet right up here together. And if you're worshiping with us at home this morning, you can come a little bit closer to the screen as we have this time together. All right. So I'll let everybody get settled up here, but I'm going to need your help today, okay? Do you all think you can help me a little bit today? Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard all of those interesting and strange things that Miss Anita read, but we heard some words from a prophet, from the prophet Isaiah. And what a prophet is somebody who tries to listen for the voice of God and then actually tries to say, I think this is what God wants for us. I think this is what God wants us to do or who God wants us to be. So, you know what? Prophecy can be an interesting thing, and it can even be a little dangerous. And so I'm going to try something a little dangerous here, okay? I'm going to see if you all can help be some prophets today, all right? So Isaiah believed that God was with us at all times, always around us, present everywhere. And I believe Isaiah's right, and that God is with us right here, right now. So I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Take a deep breath. Let it out. I want you to see and feel if you can feel God's presence. And then I want you to open your eyes and look at me. And I want you to raise your hand and tell me if you know something that you think God wants us to hear today. Okay? What's something God wants us to hear today? Martha? I don't know. That's a great answer. Sometimes we don't know what God wants from us. And that can be an important thing to admit, that sometimes, God, I don't know. I need to reach out some more. Does somebody else have something they think God might want us to hear today? Yeah. Can we learn about lemons? Is that what you said? Yeah. Can we learn about lemons? That is a wonderful one. You know what? God calls us to think about how God created everything, right? Including lemons. God calls us to care for our creation. So you're reminding me right now that I need to pay more attention to where my food comes from. It comes from this earth that we're called to take care of. Is there something else that God wants us to hear today? Yeah.
How to make houses.
How to make houses. Now, Pastor Stacy has something to say about that.
I sure do. You want to know about Habitat Build?
We build houses with Habitat for Humanity to help people that don't have houses get houses. And you know what? In our city right now, there are a lot of people that have trouble finding places to live. So building houses is an important thing to think about. It's an important thing for God's people to think about in this city right now. Yeah. How about one more person? Does anybody else hear something God really wants us to hear today? Yes. Watermelon. We're back to fruit again. Good. Watermelon. Watermelon also makes me think of picnics. It makes me think of gathering together with God's people around a table like we're going to do today. So maybe that's a good reminder that we are gathering together to share in God's bountiful feast. And then we'll eat lunch. That's right. We'll keep going. It's an everlasting banquet. So see, even young people can be prophets for us, can help us hear what God wants us to hear. And so I thank you all for that. And now let us pray together. And grandmas, that's right. Gotta love our grandmas. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the voices of children. Our families. We give you thanks for our families and for the ways that our children call us to remember what it means to lean into you and your love and your presence and to live lives patterned after you. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. All right. Now I'm going to invite everybody that's 3, 4, or 5 to go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back to sit with your families. Thanks, everyone. I'm going to Children's Church. You're older? Okay. Well, then you know where you're going.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So this time last week, I was on my way back from New York City. My family went on a 4.5-day vacation up to New York, and we were in Manhattan for the whole time. And we did a lot of the things that you normally do to have fun up in New York and to sightsee and all of that, but our primary reason for taking this trip was that both of my daughters are huge musical theater fans. They love to act in musical theater themselves. They love to watch musicals that are in movie form. They love to go to plays that are musicals. They love to sing along with musical soundtracks throughout our house. Our house always has music going, sometimes much to my chagrin, but nevertheless, they love musicals. But they had never been to Broadway. And they really wanted to go. And so we said, you know, let's plan a last minute summer trip to get it in right before school starts to go up to New York and see some of those shows. And so we went up and we saw 3 shows in 4 nights. So we really packed it in. The first night we saw a modern classic, Wicked. The second night, we saw a classic revival of The Music Man with Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster, which was absolutely amazing. If you get to go see it ever, go to see it. And then the third one was a kind of quirky newer musical, Beetlejuice, based off the 1980s movie, if you've ever seen that. But as we were there watching these shows, it had been a long time since I'd been to Broadway myself. And watching that caliber performer in that kind of setting, it reminded me of how powerful the stage can be and how powerful performance can be in general. So you take these everyday average people, because, you know, actors and actresses, they're people just like you and me. We went to see some of these folks as they would leave the theater after the shows. They'd come out the side stage doors and you could take pictures and stuff. And they were just normal people. Well, except for maybe Hugh Jackman. But other than that, they were just normal people like you and me. But then they get up on stage and you've got the costumes and the makeup and the lights and the set and the music. And then, of course, their talent as well. And they step into these roles and they are transformed and they begin to channel a new personality. They channel somebody else. And it's amazingly powerful. It draws you into their world. It makes you start to feel things that you didn't know you would be feeling. It makes you start to think in different ways that you might not have thought before. It's a phenomenal experience. And as I reflected on that and then reflected on the prophet Isaiah this week, I realized that being a prophet is a lot like being a performer. Except the prophet has this bigger task of channeling the voice and personality of God. So instead of taking on the personality of the Wicked Witch of the West or a wacky poltergeist like Beetlejuice, the prophet is someone who dares to take on the voice of God. Now, that is what makes prophecy especially powerful. It's what makes prophetic ministry and prophetic acts things that can change the world. It's also what can make prophecy dangerous at times. Because if somebody claims to speak for God or on behalf of God and they do it in a way that is domineering or controlling, it can actually become dangerous. But it makes one wonder, how does somebody come to the conclusion that they can speak for God in the first place, right? I mean, somebody like me that has to get up and preach in front of people, I struggle with that sometimes. Just how am I supposed to expound on the Word of God? And am I supposed to add anything to it? And what do I have to say? Who am I to talk like this? And the prophet has that responsibility that much more and that much greater. But it's a powerful thing that a prophet does. It's somebody that dares to speak as if God is speaking. And that is exactly what Isaiah does here. Isaiah is speaking and working in the 8th century BCE to the people of Jerusalem. And he's talking in a time before the northern kingdom of Israel has completely fallen to Assyria, and before the southern kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem is, has fallen to the Babylonians. And so they're in this kind of in-between time between King David and between their time of exile. And it's a time that in many ways you would think should be an okay time for them. And yet Jeremiah looks at them and looks at their situation and says, hold on, listen up. I say some things are not so well here. And in fact, God says some things are not so well here right now amongst our people. He says, look around, you people of Jerusalem, you people of Israel, look around. You claim to love this God who rescued us from captivity in Egypt and brought us into freedom. You claim to love this God who has been with us, has stayed with us in covenant, in forgiveness, in grace. has helped us come into this land and become a people together, a nation together. You worship, you do rituals, you do all these things, and yet, when I look at the ways that you're living, I'm actually not so sure you believe what you're saying. I'm not so sure you believe what you're saying. And he even compares them. When he said Sodom and Gomorrah, he's not actually talking about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's just using that as a metaphor. He's drawing on this image that they would know of cities that were known to have been destroyed because they so deviated from showing the love of God, from showing hospitality, from taking care of one another, that they were said to have been destroyed because of that. And he says, I think we're on not so great of a path right now, currently, Jerusalem. We need to wake up. We have forgotten the orphaned and the widowed and the oppressed. We've got blood on our hands. We're not treating each other well or our neighbors well. Listen up. As I thought about Isaiah making such bold proclamations over his people, I was thinking about this image that's on the cover of your bulletin today. It's a picture by Marc Chagall. It's a sketch that has Isaiah looking over the city of Jerusalem. And I thought, you know what? A prophet like Isaiah is really practicing what today we call adaptive leadership. Has anybody heard this term, adaptive leadership? If you've heard it, raise your hand. I want to know that there are a few people. Okay. In leadership circles right now, adaptive leadership is all the rage. And basically what talking about leadership through an adaptive lens says is that there are some problems that are adaptive problems. And that means they are so big and they are so complex and they have so many variables that we don't expect, that we don't truly know what the solution is. And so it's going to be difficult to figure out how to answer these problems. Now, that's in opposition to a technical problem. So a technical problem would have an easy solution. Like, if I have a flat tire, I know I either need to patch that tire and then refill it, or I just need to get a brand new tire. But either way, once I've done one of those two things, my problem's solved. An adaptive problem is more like the one Isaiah's dealing with. It seems like my problem is that the people's hearts are not in the right place. What do I do about that? That is not an easy question to answer. And in adaptive leadership, they tell you that what you need to do is you need to get up on the balcony, is what they call it. And you need to survey everything that's happening. You need to look at all the pieces and look at all the different moving parts that might be contributing to the difficulty, and then start to work from there and work together to figure out what the solutions are going to be. And sometimes the solutions are unanticipated. Sometimes we discover things in this process of adaptive leadership. And I think that's what a prophet does. A prophet gets up and takes the balcony view, kind of like Isaiah looking out over Jerusalem and seeing what's happening with his people. And so it made me wonder, what would it be like for a prophet today? And I do believe that there are people walking among us that speak prophetically at times. But what would it be for a prophet to look down at us right now? To look down at our nation? To look down at our churches? What would that prophet have to say? Listen up, United States of America, a place that claims to center itself on God-given gifts such as freedom and liberty and justice for all. Look around. How are you doing right now? Listen up, West End United Methodist Church. You like to say that God loves everyone unconditionally and that shapes how you do things. How's it hitting the ground? How are you doing there? Listen up, you Methodists who at your baptismal vows said that you promise to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Are you living that out? Listen up, you Christians. You who claim to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You who claim to love your neighbor as yourself. And not just that, but also your enemy too. How are you doing when it comes to that? You see, I think the mark of a true prophet is not somebody that can predict the future. And it's not somebody that has all the right answers. Rather, a prophet is someone like Isaiah who is drawn so close to God that they start to be able to see what the right issues are to focus on and also what the right questions are to ask. And a prophet also reminds us that our relationship with God is not this domineering top-down thing. It's not, even though these words might sound judgmentally harsh, I love this phrase, come now, let us argue it out. And Bill Miller reminded me after the last service that another translation is, come now, let us reason. Come now into relationship with God, into relationship with your fellow humans, and let's figure this thing out together. That's what prophets call us back to. And I think that's the call of God to us today. So listen up, West End United Methodist Church. Let's do this thing together. Come now, let us argue it out.
Words of the prophet challenge us and convict us, and yet we are invited not to shrink from their words, but to rise and affirm our faith and be ready to respond in faith to what we hear. And so I invite you now to stand in body or in spirit, and let us join our voices together in affirming our faith in the God of the prophets, the God of us all. You can find the affirmation on page 883 in your hymnals if you need it. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with one heart and mind as we pray together. We are a congregation that wants to pray with and for one another and for our world. And so I would invite you to share any prayer concerns or joys that are on your hearts today. If you're in the sanctuary, you can use one of the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. Fill that out and place it in the offering plate as it goes by. If you're joining us online, you can go to our website and go under the Contact Us and leave us your prayer concerns there. Your pastors meet every Monday afternoon and pray for each one by name. This morning, we join our prayers together for the friends and family of West End member Kathleen Strong Elder, who passed away on July 20th. At this time, there are no public services planned. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of love, God of justice, God of compassion, God of the prophets, We begin our prayers this day with gratitude. We praise you for the beauty of your creation, for the sun that shines and the rain that waters the earth, for lemons and watermelons and the spirit and voices of children. Keep our eyes open to the blessings you bestow upon us every day. Help us to see all around us the signs of your provision, your compassion, your care. We thank you, O God, for the voices of the prophets, the prophet Isaiah, and the prophets in our own day, who wake us up, who call us to account, and who remind us of who you are and who we are called to be. They give us a vision of your kingdom. They show us your dream for creation. They remind us that the world is not yet as it should be, and that we are not yet as we should be. But you are with us. You are working on us. You are moving in your world even now. You are bringing about healing, hope, justice, abundance, and joy for all people. And so, O God, we turn our hearts toward you, and we pray for the healing of this world. We pray for deep peace, peace that only comes with your justice, in our homes, in our relationships, in your church, in this community, and in the world. Empower us to be instruments of your peace. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. One of the ways we put our prayers into action is through our giving, to empower the ministries of this congregation beyond our walls. So we invite you today to give as you are able and as you feel led. If you're here in the sanctuary, our ushers will come forward in a moment to pass the plates among us. If you're joining us online, you are welcome to give through the link that is in the chat this morning. However we give, may we give with glad and generous hearts, knowing that God holds us and loves us unconditionally.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you. Oh, sorry. You may be seated. I saw Carol catch me there. Sit down. But you know what? Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
To pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
This is the body of Christ, broken and shared with each of you to bring new life. And this is the cup of salvation poured out for you and for many. In the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table, and now that we have prepared this table, we invite any and everyone who would like to participate, who feels the tug of God's grace on their heart, to come forward and partake this day. Anyone and everyone, wherever you're from, is welcome at these rails. All of our elements are gluten-free, so if you have any gluten sensitivities, that will not be a problem for you. And then as we start to take communion, we will invite the choir to come first and receive, and then we will invite those in the transept and the balcony to come forward, and then the rest of you in the nave will come down via the aisle. It is our tradition at West End United Methodist Church to take a communion offering each month that supports a different ministry here in our community. And this month, our communion offering is going to support our work in our public school partnership with H.G. Hill Middle School. The money goes to support families and students and staff at the school in lots of ways, from faculty appreciation lunches to coffee carts for the teachers to a holiday party for the children. So give generously either at these plates that are up here as you come forward, or if you're online, you can designate a gift specifically for H.G. Hill Middle School. The table is set and we are ready. So in a few moments, you will stand and rise again and come forward to take. If you need to be served in your pew, though, I will come and meet you there with prepackaged elements. The table is set. Come and feast. Thank you. And now, if you would, join me in our prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts. Say, you all did pretty well. There was some good singing there. I'd love to hear it. Listen up, West End United Methodist Church. God is calling us to get lost in wonder, love, and grace. So let us come together and come to meet our God together. Come now, let us argue it out. Let us reason together. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.